This is Like Effect from Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Mitch Teich.
And I'm Bonnie North. Good morning. The old expression goes, it's serious as a heart attack. And while I'm sure we can all agree the prospect of a heart attack is serious, there's evidence that one group of people doesn't take their own risk for heart attacks seriously. And it's a pretty big group.
The research from the Harvard School of Public Health shows that women treat their own risks for heart attacks differently than their male counterparts. And that's cause for concern, not just for women, but for the doctors who might help them as well. Dr. Joshua Liberman is a preventive cardiologist at Milwaukee's Columbia St. Mary's Health System, and he joins us in the studio now. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Let me ask you a basic question. Why do you think heart disease and heart attacks are still thought of as primarily impacting men?
You know, I think it's just historical tradition more than anything. I mean, the data has been very clear. For over a century, heart disease has been the number one killer for women. Yet the statistics are very clear that that many women are unaware of this.
It's interesting because even to this day, in kind of popular culture, you watch movies or the things that affect women in books and movies and other parts of popular culture are typically not the heart attack that you see, you know, suddenly striking the strong man down.
And this is exactly true, and I guess this is another way where, unfortunately, popular culture is leading us astray in terms of lots of these images that people have. And so as a result, you know, they're lulled into this, you know, sense of safety and denial.
Well, and so talk about the prevalence of heart disease as a killer of women.
So as I said before, heart disease has been the number one killer of women for almost a century. Heart disease in general accounts for about one third of all deaths, but heart disease kills about 400,000 women a year. To put that in perspective, if you added up almost all the other causes of death in women, heart disease either equals or bests them all. Certainly, if you added up all the types of cancers a woman could get, heart disease, is far and away the bigger cause of death.
Are risk factors for women any different than they are for men?
They're really not, actually. In fact, we know that adult women tend to have higher blood pressure and worse cholesterol than men, in fact. But the risk factors are pretty much the same. It's going to be cholesterol. It's going to be blood pressure. It's going to be diabetes or risk for diabetes. It's going to be family history. And it's going to be obesity or physical inactivity.
What about the way heart issues show themselves? Do men and women show signs of heart trouble in different ways?
So this has been another kind of, you know, myth out there that women always present differently with heart attacks. The fact of the matter when you look at the data is that the vast majority of women still present with the classic symptoms of chest pain, chest heaviness, or, you know, squeezing in the chest. That actually accounts for about 70% of presentations in women. Another 10 to 20% is going to be shortness of breath with exertion. And then, you know, there's going to be a remainder of about 10 or 15% that's going to be the atypical features, you know, just profound fatigue or back pain or something along those lines. But just like in men, you know, 70 to 75% of women will present with chest discomfort as their primary symptom.
There's a body of research out there that suggests one key issue is that women may typically wait longer to report their symptoms. That is, ascribe them to other issues for a longer period before seeking help.
And this is actually thought to be one of the reasons that women fare worse in terms of heart attacks. So if both a man and a woman with relatively equal risk factors have a heart attack, the man is actually likely to have a much better outcome than the woman. So one of the features is because women present later. So either they're having symptoms and they, again, don't recognize that heart disease it could be an issue. So they think, oh, maybe that's my heartburn or maybe that's my asthma or maybe I'm just too worried about something. And unfortunately, they go to see a doctor and sometimes the doctor is not also aware of heart disease and the prominence of it. And so the doctor will say, oh, that, you know, that's probably just heartburn or that's probably just asthma or maybe you're just stressed out about something. So there's a delay to diagnosis. And then we also know that women are less likely to call 911 if they think they're having a heart attack.
Well, right. So I've read that, well, heart attacks actually do occur more commonly in men under 55. They tend to be fatal more often with women.
This is true. And again, it may be because the men have been identified earlier as being at risk, and so they've been put on treatment from an earlier point, and so therefore their disease is less advanced and maybe even slightly more stable when they present with a heart attack, whereas women, sometimes these risk factors go unchecked, and so they're presenting, unfortunately, with sudden death.
Well, and so as someone who is a preventive cardiologist, how preventable are most of these deaths?
You know, the sad fact of the matter is that 80 to 90% of heart disease is entirely preventable. In fact, the data, again, over the last several decades is very clear that 80% of all chronic disease is self-inflicted by our lifestyles.
Well, and so let's talk about, you know, let's say you are we'll give you a hypothetical case of a woman in her 50s, say, or late 40s, and you know has not necessarily taken optimal care of herself. How reversible are the kinds of things that people typically do to their bodies so that, you know, 5, 6, 7 years from now, the result is not a heart attack?
The beautiful part about this story and the beautiful part about my job is that everything is entirely preventable to some extent. Obviously, you know, there's genetics involved and there are some things we can't control. But no matter how bad a person's shape is in, they can get healthier if they just start doing something. So we teach at Columbia St. Mary's that, you know, it's never too early to start doing something, but it's better to start as soon as you can. Just take, for example, the issue of smoking. You know, no matter how long somebody has been a smoker for, the minute that they quit, they start getting benefit.
Talk about the kinds of diagnostic tests that that someone might go through to perhaps mitigate their risk down the road.
So absolutely the kind of basic tests, which are getting your blood pressure checked and making sure that that's controlled and having a cholesterol panel done. You'd be surprised, but there's a large percentage of people up there and the statistics are scary in this point that have not had a cholesterol test in greater than 10 years. And so that's part of it. But, I mean, just starting with the basic tests, there are always advanced tests that can be done and run to really isolate or hone in on one person's individual specific risk. But for general population, just making sure your blood pressure is checked, doing an easy diabetes test, which is just a blood test, and doing a cholesterol test, that if we were able to achieve that alone, you know, we'd significantly reduce the number of heart attacks in this country.
And for people who have, say, heart disease that runs in their family, even just these basic tests as well?
For the most part, there are some, situations where a person could seem healthy from the outside and their cholesterol test seems reasonable, but they have, you know, what sounds like a terrible family history. For that person, there is some advanced testing that can be done either with taking pictures of the heart in certain ways or just some advanced blood tests to try to, you know, hone in on the level of risk.
This is the kind of thing that you do every day. What are your biggest frustrations as you see patients? Without naming names.
No. Absolutely. No, my biggest frustrations are just in how difficult it is in our society to remain healthy, how the easier route is always the unhealthy route. So, you know, fast food restaurants with drive-up, you know, windows and a lack of sidewalks in many neighborhoods, lack of lack of availability to fresh produce in many neighborhoods. And so really simple things like this could have a tremendous, effect or impact on the country's health. And just to isolate one issue, again, not talking about specific patients, but one issue is just the amount of sodium that's in our food. I mean, sodium, some statistics just came out a couple weeks ago from the American Heart Association, but the tremendous amounts of sodium that we take in on average were thought to cause 60,000 deaths last year. So just salt content of our food alone contributed to about 60,000 people dying last year.
Do you think are we as a society too reliant on medicine versus lifestyle change in this dynamic?
Sadly, there is some truth to that. There was a study that came out, I think it was about a year ago, that actually suggested that people who took cholesterol medication did not do as much physical activity or did not eat as well as people who were not on the medication. And it has nothing to do with the medication, you know, corrupting your mind or changing your behavior in terms of, you know, neurotransmitters or anything. It's just people feel less worried, and so they feel more comfortable being complacent.
They feel like the medicine is a safety net.
Exactly. And I do have, unfortunately, many patients that have said, I know I just had my third heart attack, but gosh, doc, I mean, it keeps working what you're doing, so keep it up.
Well, a strange note to end on, but Josh Liberman, thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Thank you for having me.
Josh Liberman is a preventive cardiologist with Columbia St. Mary's in Milwaukee. You'll find links to more about women and heart disease from WUWM.com.
Well, coming up next, why weight loss is a more complex issue than we might think. That comes along when Lake Effect returns on Milwaukee Public Radio.